Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I've struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I talked with the Lord many nights at my bedside. I asked His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save us from sin. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and it holds me steadfast to His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. To the far distant shore, many friends have gone from me. They're singing the praises of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be guided by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. And there's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and it holds me steadfast in His way and His love. It's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes, I see heaven's glory. I hope that my soul will be free from all care. He'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I pray to be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and it holds me steadfast through His way and His love. It's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and it holds me steadfast to His way and His love. It's guiding me through temptation and evil.
There's a light guiding me to the heaven above. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus.
He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him, as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadow, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, I will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him, as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him, as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. I was wondering how to best describe the environment that we're living in, the situation that the so-called religious world is surrounded with, and thinking yesterday, how would you explain it? You know, all this thing in here. I was reminded of it's right here in the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. The church age of Laodicea, it's described, and back before the foundation of the world, God knew that. But it's going to be like the day and the hour that we're now living in. And then you got to realize the Bible was written before the foundation of the world. But just back 2,000 years ago, it was brought out and put in written form. But that information lay back there in the mind of God, because God knows all things. Everything is the foreknowledge. Can God know that here? And this hour that we're now living in, this is going to be the situation in 2025. And he gave it, this is a relief that God gives to Jesus. Jesus does know everything. Jesus only knows what the Father gives him to see. And there came a time when God, that great eternal spirit, gave the revelation to Jesus. And then Jesus, he gives it to the angel. It was the angel of Laodicea. And then angel of Laodicea gave it to John on the island of Patmos. Just that simple. And then back in 1963, when that thing was opened, it was given the understanding of it was given to Brother Branham. And now we're living in the church age of Laodicea, and then now we can go back and read it exactly what's going on. And I'll just read it here. This is, I'll read it in a different translation. This is the solemn pronouncement of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. Like when you read it in a different translation, you get to see the picture a little bit clearer. See, Jesus Christ is the originator of God's creation. The reason you and I are here is because we were created for Jesus Christ. The reason that Wren is out there that we see here singing is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says here, He is the originator. He's not the creator, but it is everything was created because of Him. You got to understand that. It's because it says it. This is the solemn announcement of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation, which is the one and only, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the one that's saying it now, because it's a revelation that He got from God. And He says He's bringing us now into the hour that we're now living in the church age of Laodicea, which began in 1906. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. He knows exactly what's going on. I wish you were either cold or hot. See, so because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. See, you and I, we're hot. We're not lukewarm, eh? Mm-hmm. And they say, how come he's so mad? I'm not mad. I'm just hot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's serious.
I'm just not lukewarm.
Serious hour. Mm-hmm. We're not lukewarm like that thing out there. The minute they hear us, they think we're mad. Mm-hmm. But no, we're serious with this. We're not out of that lukewarm crowd. Mm-hmm. Would to God, you're either cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm, you're going to be spewed out. That's what you hear out there in this charismatic world. This lovey-dovey stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, he doesn't have no love. Oh, he just hates. Oh, I'm serious. I'm hot. What the Bible would describe it. I wish you were hot. I know your deed that you're neither cold nor hot. That's the society that you're living in. Mm-hmm. And you read this here over and over again, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I remember when I heard Brother Jackson preach. Oh, man. That was music to my ears. That guy sure knows what he's talking about. And concerning Jesus, they said, oh, man, that's quite something. He's not like the scribes and the Pharisees, but he speaks like he knows something. No, that religious thing, they want to keep everything kind of lovey-dovey, like with glee, with sleazy words, just like Korah back in the day. He had the way to speak that it drove the people to him,
mm-hmm.
and they believed that guy, that he could outdo Moses any time. But he had charisma. He knew how to talk to the people. But there was nothing behind him. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor I wish you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. And that's exactly what you see out there. That's it. Right, Laodicea, the age we're living in, right to the T. Because you say, and here's the crux, because you say, I'm rich. I've acquired great wealth and need nothing. I do not realize. And that's the situation that people are in. They're wretched, they're pitiful, they're poor, they're blind, and they're spiritually naked. Mm-hmm. That's the condition that you see out there when you're surrounded with this environment, with this so-called phony, charismatic, so-called modern-day preaching.
Mm-hmm. And when you will look at it, the songs, the hymns, the German hymns that we sing, you know, these songs, they were written under the man-beast. And you will the words and the meanings in the words are genuinely true. And when you compare it to the songs that people write in this day and age, they're very shallow. They're like the Laodicea church.
It's lukewarm.
Lukewarm, because they don't want to offend anybody. But those songs that were written back there, those go to the core of the being, and they really want to renew. There is a message of renewing the spirit and the soul, so that you are in touch with God and can fellowship with Him, and you can really see the difference and from the Laodicea church hour that we're now living in, because mm-hmm. the whole universe is in this deception.
Yeah, charged up.
Mm-hmm. It's in this deception, and you will find how these things came to be. It all originated back in the Babylonian when they came out of the ark. There was Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And Ham had Cush. And Cush introduced that era of people to many gods already back there. And the gods that he introduced are still alive today.
Mm, the spirit doesn't die.
Yeah, that spirit that he was in touch with the underworld. For some reason, he was in touch with the underworld. And these spirits that were active back there played a part in the church ages. Mm-hmm. And that's why when every church age had their issues, because these spirits were still infiltrating every aspect of society.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that the Laodicea church age is really a church that is a global. They want to take God out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why in the end it's wretched, blind, and naked. And the people, when you will walk down the street, look at people, you can visualize.
They just exist.
Yes, they have no purpose. Exactly.
Yep.
You see them walking. It's almost like they are zombies.
Yeah, that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
Walking zombies.
Walking zombies. They're almost like following a trend, and it's a dangerous trend that they're walking. They're oblivious to the world they're living in, and to know God. It's a very sad state that people are in. They're on a treadmill that's always running, and it never gets you anywhere.
Yeah, and that's it says in the Bible, good will be called evil, and evil will be called good.
Mm-hmm.
When you analyze it, and you look around, and you sit back, what it really is. To the world around us, to the Hutterites, and to people that know it, we're actually evil.
Mm-hmm.
And their eyes, we're actually exactly what the Bible says. We, in their eyes, and their society, we're the evil ones.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even rate in their world, like that one preacher said, oh, they're irrelevant. Put them in an unapplicable box. That's exactly what the Bible describes what it's going to be like at the end time. Good will be called evil, and evil will be called good. My own children, they think I'm the evil one. And these other preachers, they're the good ones. And when we say anything, they think we're blaspheming.
Mm-hmm.
And, but see, the picture's an upside-down picture. And all day yesterday I was wondering, how would I describe it? Well, I don't have to describe it. It's already described, the society that we're living in, back in the church age of Laodicea.
When you read the 20th verse, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's how you can see how Jesus is outside the church door. He's
mm-hmm.
outside. People have organized it so much that the Lord Jesus Christ is not part of their program.
No.
And people, they think mentioning Jesus, saying we believe in Jesus, that that's acceptable. It's not. See, the Jesus is in the truth for your day and hour.
Yeah.
That's why when Brother Brenham was on the scene in the 60s, was the end of an age, in a sense, where that dark, that gray horse rider, that pale horse rider, that lukewarm spirit was able to infiltrate society. So that's why I say it was beginning of a different era.
Mm-hmm.
And people could no longer receive truth, because even when Brother Brenham was preaching, he wanted so much for them to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But they could not receive it. And he said they have to get it. And his wife said to him, they're not going to get it. And that's how you can see how that gray horse rider was starting to ride already.
Yeah.
And like I always said, when I came to the message of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, you have no idea what I felt like when I finally came to that message. Here I'm hearing the truth, unfiltered,
undefiled,
undoctorate, like what's it called? I always
doctored it up.
Yeah, doctored it up, unadulterated.
Yeah.
Yes, unadulterated. That's what I heard, the Word of God in its pure form. And I cannot describe how I felt when I heard that, because all my life, that is what I was searching for. Mm-hmm. There's someone that would give me the Word of God in its pure form. And here, when these men came on the scene, that is what I received. And my spirit, the joy that was in my soul and spirit is indescribable.
Mm-hmm.
And that environment out there is constantly pressing in, wanting to take it away, just like they did in the days of Lot. That spirit of sodomy was constantly pressing in and vexing Lot's righteous spirit and his righteous soul. That's what the Bible says. And that's what that Laodicea church hour is constantly doing. It's constantly vexing your soul and spirit.
Yeah, and somehow we found it because we were predestinated to find it. God prepared us before the foundation of the world that we would not settle into that garbage that's out there, that lukewarm. Yeah, we touched it and I looked at it and I was almost sucked into it time and time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
But God, rich in mercy and his grace, he allowed me to see through that thing, through that Hutterite system, that at the end of the day, I saw it as being controlled by Satan. And when we talk like that, we're pegged as, man, they're blaspheming.
Mm-hmm.
They're committing the unpardonable sin. But we're telling people the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to learn here more in one sitting than you do out there in 10 lifetimes, because they're not going to tell you the truth. They'll tell you about the truth. They'll slide by, but they are not going to tell you the truth because they don't have the truth,
mm-hmm.
because that behind it all is the spirit of that Babylonian satanic spirits are.
Mm-hmm.
They're injected into these preachers. That's why Jesus said at the end of the day, he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
And I
was reading something here yesterday, and people think this is a strange thing, but when you will go to Acts 7, and when Stephen walked through the history of going back to Abraham, how God called Abraham, and he walked them through their whole journey from going into Egypt, being in bondage, and God bringing them out of Egypt into the wilderness. And he said something here in verse 41. At that time, they made an idol in the form of a calf, brought a sacrifice to the idol, and began rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away from them and gave them over to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, it was not meet to me that you offered slain animals and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, but it was was it, house of Israel? So he's saying, it is not to me that you offer those sacrifices in the wilderness, but you took along the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of the god of Rephan and the images you made to worship, but I will deport you beyond Babylon. See, isn't that a sad story?
Oh.
How God brought them out from Egypt and they said, he said, it was not unto me that you sacrificed these animals, but unto your gods that you brought along.
What a slap in the face to God.
Isn't it?
After he did all that, took them out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And look at what God has done for the Gentiles, coming out of bondage, bringing them out, like in the early church, giving that new covenant to the Gentile people. And then they turned around and started worshiping the same gods that Cush introduced to the generation back there. Mm-hmm. All the gods that you see, Roman Catholicism, it all is a symbol of a spirit that they worship back there. And the same way here in the Laodicea church age, they totally forgot God and put him out of the equation. Everything in the school, no Ten Commandments, no Lord's Prayer, take God out of society. And now what you see, robots walking on the streets.
Zombies.
Because if your soul and spirit does not rise up and lift up your hands to worship God, the creator of the universe, then you are going to worship those Molochs.
A year and a half ago, the Lord put me into the emergency. Like, I look back now, I can see it so crystal clear that the Lord, he allowed me to go into that hospital, into that emergency room, to get the doctor said, you got 3 days to live if we do not give you a blood transfusion. Well, says you might as well just put it in then. And then what happened is, when I was sick unto death, and what did he do? He, just when I was right down at the bottom, he sends in his tugs. These preachers, they're Satan's tugs. And he did try to lure me back in just when I'm supposed to be at my weakest. They try to lure me back into that compound. And like I've said it over and over again, at the bottom I could feel the everlasting arms. You know, I know it wasn't going to be fatal. I don't know. I know in my heart that I'll make it through somehow because I put my trust in the Lord. But it just goes to show the Lord allowed me to go through that thing just to show me how low down these preachers really are. Just when you're at the bottom, then that spirit of driving it, the spirit of Satan, thought he had me. And what does he want me to do? Go back to the compound and put a feather in their hat. And there, everything that I ever spoke for, everything that I ever fought for in my life would be complete, would be of no effect. Because everything I spoke for the last 34 years would be useless. Because I'm going back there to deny everything I ever done, everything I ever stood for. And what am I doing? Like I say, I put a feather in their hat. And Satan said, it's that spirit of Satan that you were talking about that began back in the days of Cush, and it was introduced to the human race, and then the children of Israel took it with them through the wilderness. That spirit is still alive today, and we're the only two people that are fighting against that thing. And then they blame us, oh, he's got no law. Did you read his book? There's so much hate in these books. No, it's serious. As serious how we're living in. We're not of that lukewarm stuff.
Yeah.
We're either hot or cold. But we're taking advice from the Lord.
Like, this is kind of a story that, you know, we were talking, this lady that has a bakery at the Forks, and she is an ex-Hutterite. And when you talk to a lot of ex-Hutterites, they will, they have a religion unto themselves. Let's call it that way. And then she was saying that she follows the book of love. The book of love, I'll tell you where the book of love leads you, down the homosexual lifestyle. That's yeah, where their book yeah. of love takes them, because we were there the other day and there they had pride cookies.
Homosexual cookies.
Homosexual
cookies. Especially, especially for homosexuals.
For homosexuals. See, that's where that love spirit takes. It's yeah. not the love of God. It's a false, deceptive love. And that tolerant love that they claim to have is, it will lead you down the road of that sodomy lifestyle.
Exactly right.
And it's not that I'm wanting to talk bad about people. It's not. I know where that spirit comes from and where it will lead you to.
Yeah.
And there's no nice way to put it. It's the devil is behind it. And when the devil's behind it, he's got a motive to take you somewhere. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do it overnight. He goes slow because he knows overnight people are not going to fall for it. So he's been working at this for years. This has been a year program. Because when you come to the founding fathers here in North America, when they came here, they wanted to get out of that Roman Catholic system, that mm-hmm. tyrannical government that they had lording over them. And they created a country on the principles of the Bible, not on Roman Catholicism. And Roman Catholicism, they don't like that, so they want to infiltrate mm-hmm. every society. And now what you see here is still that spirit of yeah. Roman Catholicism playing a part in this country. That's where the devil takes you. He doesn't do it overnight, mm-hmm. but he has an end objective. And that end objective was slowly to destroy a country that was founded on Christian principles.
Amen to that. That spirit, I just thought of it when you were talking about that, the meat on there.
Mm-hmm.
That spirit originated, they was brought in the colony through that charismatic, it actually started down the Forest River, then it galloped into Fairholm and New Rosale and these type of colonies
yes.
through these women, through these, mm-hmm. the Yusupana, that Yusupana, and that Yusupkatrina, mm-hmm. these three women,
mm-hmm.
they brought in that charismatic spirit, that charismatic lifestyle. I remember back in the day when I was a kid, they would go to every funeral and they would bring the little children, put them on the bench and sing to them gospel songs.
Mm-hmm.
You would take it in, and I looked at that thing. I was only maybe 14 years old, and I see them doing that. But see, that's where that spirit originated from. And look what you got today. You take the land is polluted with that spirit. And I met that old Yusuf Sana one day, and she was growing up in age already. She was getting old, and she was promoting all that
mm-hmm.
that so-called charismatic thing. And she was actually crying. She had tears in her eyes. And she told me, like, right out of her mouth, I saw her mouth move. And she said, I didn't know what I'm doing. Because she saw her daughters that she brainwashed mm-hmm. against that Hutterite thing
mm-hmm.
and to bring in this new modern so-called charismatic Christianity thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she literally wept that she told her daughters when they were young and growing up. And then they ended up marrying black people and the racial thing and all that stuff that she fed her daughters, it didn't turn out too good.
Mm.
And now she's up in age and she sees how it turned out. And she told me, I saw her tears. She was weeping. Mm-hmm. I did not know. Mm-hmm. She'd been duped. She was deceived.
Exactly.
Now, why did I know? Mm-hmm. I seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I worked for theirs, they told me to go out. His cousin hit the ditch out there. It was a storm. So I went out and pulled her out of the ditch, you know, with a four-wheel drive. And then I took her back to the yard, and she's crying the blues to me because mm-hmm. she's one of those that married that black guy, you know, and she was crying the blues how it didn't turn out the way she thought it should. They were duped. They were deceived. And that's what you see out there, a spirit of deception. And we're just trying to hold the fort. We're just trying to say it the way it needs to be said.
Exactly.
Like I say, we're not lukewarm. Neither are we cold. We're hot. Like I say, when I heard Brother Jackson preach, I thought, man, that guy sure knows what he's talking about. That was music to my ears. So, you know, you care about people. So I gave a tape to that, that Darius Wurtz there, you know. I worked for 7 years, and I was concerned about the salvation because he's a materialistic guy. It's all about business, you know. But, and so anyway, I gave him the tapes from Brother Jackson, and he brought it back 2 days later. Here, don't you listen to that man. That guy is so full of hate. I said, no, he's not full of hate. He's just saying it the way it needs to be said. But see, he was used to that charismatic, that lukewarm stuff. And then you present him with something that's hot. You can't take it. Because if you put your hand on something that's lukewarm, it's nice and comfy. But when you put it on a hot stove, boy, you yank it back. That's the way society is out there. Like I said, I was wondering yesterday, how would you best describe it? Well, it's described 2,000 years ago. It was brought down before the foundation of the world. God knew that that's exactly the era and the things that we're going to be surrounded with. That lukewarm, charismatic, diabolical, satanic lifestyle. That's what you see out there. And at the end of the day, all they're interested in to lead you out to hell and that, and to create a society that's anti-God, anti-Christian. Right now, it looks pretty good just at the service. They all talk about Jesus and all that, and when it comes right down to it, they actually hate Jesus because they hate truth.
Exactly.
It's all about truth here in this end time, and we're the only ones that they'll tell people the truth. We'll tell them about that midnight cry because they don't know nothing about that midnight cry. It has not been given to them to know about that midnight cry. The Lord gave us that midnight cry. Once you know that midnight cry, February 28, 1963, you know the rest. You know the whole end time picture. If you don't have a revelation of that midnight cry, you're just not getting it. You're just out there like a floppy disk. One day you say it this way, then the next day you say it that way, and then you make a chart, and then the next day you change your chart. No, when you get the revelation, it's solid from beginning to end. That's why I say that midnight cry happened on February 28, 1963. The middle of Laodicea, it began in 1906. The middle portion was 1963, and the end of Laodicea was October 15, 2021. We're now in the week of Daniel. We're past the halfway mark. That's exactly where we're at. And you can do the rest. You can go back 1,260 days, then 42 months. We're in the 42-month era. And within what it is, it's a 42-month window. And then that window, everything is going to happen exactly what the Bible says. It's not going to happen on the first day. But it's in that window, the last part of the week, in that 42 months, you're going to see that tribulation. No, it doesn't. It's not going to be 3.5 years of tribulation, but it's in that window when that tribulation will be. Might only be for a year. Who knows? We don't know all that. Like, we don't know everything either.
That's right.
I used to think the rapture will happen before my birthday. But when I went back and I read it again, it was not given to me. Then I read, saw the scripture. It cannot happen until that man of sin is revealed. Like, he's that pope there that he just made. But what reveals him on the world stage is when he kills those two witnesses in Israel. And it's not yet be no rapture until those two witnesses are killed.
That's right. And we were going back to the Hutterites, like we were talking to this guy and his wife, and he was saying that there are a lot of people that voted liberal in the last election. And I said to him, well, that can be colony-wise. It's like you were talking earlier about that charismatic spirit coming from Forest River and then Fairholme Colony. like I would say, people like Fairholm Colony and these people that promote this homosexual lifestyle, they will be voting for the Liberals.
Yeah.
But it's still a very shocking thing to hear that they would be voting for Liberals, but you also see the degrading of their structure.
Mm-hmm.
You see how the devil will slowly degrade it down to nothing until it'll just fall apart. They have nothing to hold on to. And that's why we hold on to this truth with our lives, because we know this will prevail.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know the Word of God is the only thing that will remain standing when all the shaking will be done. All this corruption will be shaken up because it cannot stand. Only what will remain standing is the Word of God. And that's what we have built our lives on, and what we have heard from the prophet of this age, William Marion Branham, the spirit that was totally combating that Laodicea spirit, was through that prophet and through that apostolic ministry of Raymond M. Jackson. And we're just continuing to speak and combating those spirits that are out there that are always pressing in and vexing your soul and spirit. And that's what it is. They want to wear you down, to take away your fight and take away what your soul and spirit have been created to do, to worship the true and living God.
I was just thinking about that, you know, that charismatic thing, mm-hmm. that come out to Pharaoh, like I said, it originated in Forest River, and it originated right with that Joe Mandel, you know, that boss from mm-hmm. Forest River Colony. I was just thinking about that. He was really originated from him, and then it spread, and he was the one that God gave him an out of the body experience that he was dead, I think, for 13 minutes or something, and then they brought him back to life, and then he had an out of the body experience, and he got the shock of his life because he thought he was right, just mm-hmm. like his sister, that one that was crying and weeping. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. That's how deceived he was until he had that out of the body experience, and he faced reality that he had been doing something that will not stand before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then he went around from colony to colony to tell people that had the right thing. It's not it. I was being deceived. And I heard him, and it did something to me. And once I found out that thing that he was looking for, I went down to talk to his boys. And lo and behold, I contacted him about his experience that their dad had. They didn't want to talk about it because that charismatic spirit was so infiltrated, mm-hmm. infused into those people that you couldn't even get in with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I told him your dad had a out-of-the-body experience, and he said there's got to be something out there that's real. We just got to put our life on the line and go looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did, and I found it, and I went back to tell his boy what I found. This is that your dad was looking for. And lo and behold, they wouldn't even want to listen to me. In fact, like I said earlier, they thought it'd be better if he would have died right there and had a heart attack and died. Because what he was doing, he was exposing that charismatic, diabolical spirit
mm-hmm.
back then that their dad brought into the colony. And from there, like I say, it spread to these women,
mm-hmm.
the sisters, and that whole family. And now you can't stop it. Like I told you, when I knew that Reuben from Norquay,
mm-hmm.
that preacher from Norquay, mm-hmm. he was trying to be a liberal, and he married one of those into that family from these Mandels, you know, and that charismatic thing, and he was charismatic, and so he was dying with that Lou Gehrig's disease or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, and they were having a prayer meeting, and I could see they wanted me to continue with this prayer meeting. So I said, "Well, I'm not going to join your prayer meeting,
mm-hmm.
but what I will do, I'm going to pray to the Lord, to the God of heaven, if there is something, what caused you to have Lou Gehrig? As I said, there's got to be a spirit behind it. And once I find out from the Lord, I'll let you know. I'll call you up. And it maybe took 2 weeks, and I was just coming back from Florida. And here, the Lord came down and he let me know. It's that spirit that he's adopted, that from that charismatic spirit that these women brought into the college. And he married married into that family, married their niece, you know. And so I called him up, right? We're out driving. Called him up, you know, about that. I said, I'll call you when I find out. I said, it's because the reason you got that Lou Gehrig disease, because you're married into that charismatic spirit from these fair home women. Oh, no, these are godly women. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And he's already 75% destroyed from that disease. But he will not admit that it's from that charismatic spirit. And then a month later he died, you know.
Yeah, that's the fruits of it.
That's the results of it.
That's right. The fruits come in its time. Just like when you plant a tree. A tree will bear its fruit after its kind. And that's what a spirit will do. It'll bear the fruits after its kind. If you have established your life on the Word of God, the fruits will show it. And the same way with that spirit, what they have served, they're voting liberals now, they're promoting homosexual lifestyle, and that's where that spirit actually, what it's all about. And now you're just seeing the fruits of it, what the results will bring with that book of love.
I didn't see these cookies, but there are cookies in there that prairie, whatever it's called, that Tabitha's bakery in there at the Forks. And you go there, you can see for yourself, right there in the front of the till, there's these homosexual cookies.
Yeah, well, what kind of got me going, they were very colorful, so I kind of wondered what it is. And I read the label, Pride Cookies. And then you can weave yourself back and the conversations that you've had with these people, and then you can know where
it originated from.
Exactly, and where it leads you to.
Yeah.
And it's sad, but that's why we're always taking you to the Word of God and where these things lead you, where these spirits originated from, and you see the results of them.
Well, we'll just tell people the truth. Like I say, you're going to learn more here in 45 minutes than you will out there in 10 lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
But they will not tell you the truth, because behind it is the charismatic spirit. Behind it is the spirit of Satan. And Satan, all he wants is to lead you out to hell and death.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want nobody in heaven.
That's right.
We're telling people the truth here, because this is where you'll find it. The truth for your days right here, and it'll take you right to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you can only get yourself to a place where you can believe it and divorce yourself from all that stuff out there. It's not meant to help. It's meant to deceive you.
Exactly.
Lukewarm. Laodicea is lukewarm. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another opportunity, Lord, to come and sit with you in heavenly places, Lord, and to be taught from you, from your word, Lord. We give you thanks for your word, Lord. Things you've showed us over the years, Lord. I just pray for grace to stay faithful and true, Lord, to the things you've brought us to, from where you brought us to, and what you're bringing us into, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.